We are back. Hour number three. I'm Jeff Rentz, and we're talking about life after. Again, I almost hesitate to use the word death because after listening to Michael Roll and Ron Pearson January 5th and again tonight and talking to Pat and Gwen and many others over the years, there does not seem to be anything we call death in the final sense of that unfortunate term. It is merely a transient stage we find ourselves in here. Michael, a comment or two about Gwen's comments so far.
Yes, I'm thrilled to bits the way the two girls are coming across. We're talking to ordinary mums who have lost children, and imagine the hope they're giving to millions of people who are in the same position. And Gwen published her book. She had to do it herself because nobody would help her.
Oh, yes.
And she's given tremendous hope. She's got no end of mums and dads who are members of the Pink Panther Society she started.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all telling other mums and dads about Gwen's experience, you see. And she's just written a second book, I understand. You can ask her about that.
Really, Gwen? Tell us about the second book.
Well, the second one is growing up in the world of spirit. I call it the world of spirit. And he's growing into a man, obviously. He's now in his 40s.
They measure time as we do?
Well, I can only say that as I know it, you know, but I think from what I've gathered from reading and studying and talking to our friends that you grow to roughly the age that we would say about 35, and that's where you stay. You don't grow old in the spirit world, and when you go over as an elderly person, you get younger.
You come back to your highest and best potential,
right.
As it were,
that's
physically and mentally.
And he is in his 40s now, but, I mean, he...
But when you saw him, he was still 10.
Yeah, he was a little boy, that we'd known.
During the time you saw him over the hundreds of experiences, did he grow a little at that time, or was he still projecting at the age of 10?
We were with that particular medium.
Uh-huh.
But when that ended, it was quite devastating, as you can imagine, because it was just like losing him again.
I would think.
It was a totally devastating experience, but he made his way back through another medium, but this time she wasn't a materialization medium, but she was we call here a trance medium. I think in America you call it channeling.
Yes.
And that's how the second book's come about, how he's grown up in the spirit world and his work entails bringing over children. He talked about the Ethiopian famine even before we knew about it on the earth.
Uh-huh.
Well, that was at Rita's, at the... a materialization medium. He talked about that as a child, but now his work is what he calls rescue work. I mean, it goes to things like earthquakes and.
Well, they've got the AIDS epidemic, and they must be on the other side busier than ever.
They are. They're so busy, and all these boys have gathered together. You know, like Michael Russell, and there's a whole gang of them. There's hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know the mothers, and we're all connected.
What do they talk to you? What does Russell talk to you about? What did he talk to you about in terms of God and the universe and what it's all about? The true, real cosmic questions that we all yearn for answers to.
When he spoke as a little boy, obviously it was always jokeified, but now he's older, he has said through this other medium that everything is meant to be, and there is no such thing as coincidence, absolutely no such thing as coincidence. Everything is for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular happening, which happened 19 years ago with Pat and Barry, and myself and my husband and my boys, my other sons, took part in it, was for a reason. And I like to think maybe now this reason is coming forward with Mike and Ron's work. That we had a part to play.
I think you did. Well,
because, you know, it was a very wonderful process for Pat and Barry and me and Alfie and Russell and Michael.
Sounds extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
Yeah. Now, how many other...
You're very privileged, I think.
I think so, too. How many other in your family, other children?
Well, I have two other sons. My eldest son is a professor of physics and chemistry.
How does he... Go ahead.
He experienced it, yeah.
And
it
how did...
blew his mind.
I would think. And
it
does he...
blew him away.
Does he discuss this with his colleagues or keep
it
pretty much...
He discusses it. Well, he travels the world now. He was just back from Japan last week.
Uh-huh.
And everywhere he goes, he tells the story. He's been to Korea, Japan, China. With his work, you see, he's a lecturer.
How nice.
And everywhere he goes, he talks about it. Because it just blew his mind.
Yeah, sure.
He knew it was his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And his younger brother, too, talks about it in a quieter way, but he does his stuff. He talks about it in a more down-to-earth fashion, if you can get my meaning. He's not a scientist, he's a mechanic.
I understand.
So therefore, he's more practical.
Sure. Now, your son, who's a professor, does he work with you, Michael, at all? Have you had much to do with him?
Are you talking to me now, Jeff?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, well, I've been asking Gwen about this because I knew he was a doctor of chemistry. I'm very pleased to hear he's got a professorship now. Now, a man of this caliber would know if he's speaking to his dead brother or not on repeatable experiments.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sort of caliber of people we're dealing with here. You couldn't fool this doctor of chemistry that he wasn't speaking to his dead brother. He would know immediately because they've got so much in common while they are growing up together.
Yes.
And I think Gwen will tell you that that's what they spoke about.
Gwen, what does your son, Russell, from the other side, tell you about this earthly existence? What does he say the reason we are here is? What does he do by way of explaining why we're here to suffer and have joy and all the rest of it? What is it about the human experience that is necessary or otherwise warranted by the universe?
Well, he says that we come to learn. In a simple way, he explains it. Everything, every process and every experience we go through, be it painful or joyful or traumatic, we have to learn from it. And if we don't learn, well, it's just tough on us. He's explained it over and over and over again. He explained it to his brothers. In that same way, you better learn, you boys, he said. From every experience you get, you better learn, because that's what you come here for. But don't come just to play and have games. And okay, you get married and have your children.
Mm-hmm.
But he indicated to us once with one of his brothers that he was going to have a child. And he did have this child, and in the most amazing fashion, this child was born on Russell's birthday. When the Russell we're talking about now, would have been on his 30th birthday,
mm-hmm.
we had a third grandchild, and he was born bang on Russell's birthday, almost the identical day and the identical time,
mm-hmm.
and he was named after him. So we have a grandson, Russell, born on the same day as our son, Russell. How could any man arrange that? No man could fix that. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening, yes.
I mean, he told us, not warned us, he told us in a roundabout way that he was going to be an uncle again. That's the way he put it. And the child arrived.
Mm.
And the child was born in the same world that first Russell passed in.
Interesting. Right.
How could anybody other than a god or whatever force...
Someone from the other side, sure.
Exactly. This child is another Russell.
What about people who don't learn, who continue to do evil? As Michael suggested earlier on, they carry that with them to the other side as well. They aren't all enlightened souls over there.
No, they're not all enlightened souls, are they? I mean, we know that, don't we, by the world the way it is today. I heard you say earlier on about the globe, the state it was in.
Yeah.
It just goes to prove. And, of course, you were talking a little bit earlier on about reincarnation. And to be quite honest, in the early days, I never gave it a thought. You know, we have talked about it, Russell and I, and he did touch briefly on it, only briefly, at the end of the first book, Russell. It's actually out of print now. He did say that we've been mother and son before in other lives, and in the second book he enlarges on it. And I don't mind telling you, it's blown me away
again
before it's even published.
So you, again, were mother and son.
Yes.
Again. Interesting.
And I've no reason to disbelieve him. As I said, when he was born, I knew that I was going to lose him. As soon as he was born, I was on my own with him. And he just was on the bed, and I knew. And I had to live with that for 10 years.
Oh, terrible.
That's why I had to write everything down. I knew that I'd got to write it all. After his passing, everything that had the traumatic event, the search for him, and the knowing that he was safe and to carry on living and bringing up the other children and doing everything I could to put the family back together again, a shattered family, you can imagine. And then, you know, that's what it was all about at the time.
Extraordinary. Michael, not too much in the way of mention of reincarnation in these experiments, I guess. Just occasionally a hint here or there.
Yes, that's right. And I think I know what's happening now. I think this is going to come much clearer, that only a little bit of us is latched on to the physical spacesuit. It looks like our parents make a physical spacesuit, and a bit of us breaks off from the etheric world and latches onto that spacesuit. But the greater part of us is always in the etheric world. So we've got that pattern coming back
to
the whole.
Some more than others.
Yes, that's right.
The truly enlightened and wise and graceful among us would seem to be more closely attached to their etheric selves. And this
that's
is all
right.
all talked about by many, many people in many cultures and many disciplines. We'll be right back with Michael Roll and Gwen Byrne in just a minute. With Michael Roll and Gwen Byrne, and we're talking about subatomic life after death. Life immortal, I guess, isn't it, Michael?
Yes. This is a finite universe we're operating on at the moment, but the reality is the invisible bit, and it is immortal. We are immortal. We go on forever.
Gwen, was there... Yes.
Hello.
Yes. Gwen, was there any talk... And all those visits with your son about organized religion here on the planet, was there talk about Jesus or Buddha any of the rest? Tell me about that.
Well, they're not very happy with organized religion. Definitely not very happy.
So what you're saying is the universe is not real pleased with the idea that humankind, has co-opted some of the grandeur of the universal spirit, the God, if you will, of the universe, and used it to subvert and subject people to dogma, religion, torture, death, financial extortion, and all sorts of other wonderful benefits.
I think you've explained it exactly as they would say it. That's what they say. They're not at all pleased. And you've explained it perfectly. I couldn't do it as well.
Was there any mention of Jesus?
Yes. As when we used to go, when he was the child, as I told you, to Rita's, the medium that Pat was with.
Yes.
He came as a little boy, and I actually plucked up the courage one night, and it took me years to do it. And I said, Russell, have you met Jesus? And back came the answer, of course. And one of the other communicators, Helen Duncan, said, of course he has, Gwen. And I never asked any more. I just felt, you know, totally overawed by the answer. And I thought, well, I better shut up here. You know, I'm very lucky what I've witnessed and what I've experienced. Don't go asking too many questions.
Well, that's a very kind and human and understandable response.
I felt very lucky to.
Yeah.
I'm very privileged.
Yes.
Well, even as an atheist, I love the teachings accredited to Jesus. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
Well, that's if there is a universal law, that has to be it.
As you sow, so you will reap.
Sure.
Absolute common sense. So yeah. There's nothing wrong with following the
We all know,
of
I
Jesus.
Think, we all know those things intuitively, all of us. Even the evil among us know that. If we had to sit down and write these basic tenets out, I think that could be done. They may deny them, but those are as human as it gets, I think.
Absolutely.
Those rules. That's what humans are supposed to be. Nowadays, the definition of human and humanity has become rather corrupted as we see more and more of the darkness creeping in. What about the issue of light and dark, Gwen, and it's almost an eternal fight between the two. What happens? How do people on the other side become corrupted, or are they corrupted by the time they get here?
Well, do you know, I don't know your name.
It's Jeff.
Yes. I can't really answer that, not in a specific way, because I never encountered evil with those seances or any of the people and mediums that I've met along the way.
Uh-huh.
I have never encountered what I call evil.
Yes, I think that's very important, Gwen, because the good news here on one of these materialization sessions, Jeff, is the rotten forces do not have access to this technology. This is coming from much higher wavelengths.
Hmm.
They can get onto a Ouija board, the rotten forces. That's why it's very dangerous to use a Ouija board if you don't know what you're doing, because you're opening your front door for rotten people to come in. But I can assure you, in my experience and Gwen's experience there, they do not have access to this technology. This is done by people from a much higher wavelength. And once when I was talking to Russell there, he's always looking over his shoulder, Russell. His boss is. He always talks to him. He's, I've got to watch this because the bosses are watching. He keeps saying.
Hmm.
He was biting a licorice all sorts that mm-hmm. he had there. Mm-hmm. And he says, the bosses say I mustn't swallow this. I've got to go careful what I'm doing here, he said. So it looks like there's a very serious scientific exercise going on in the background here.
Hmm. There is a hierarchy on the other side.
That's what Russell says, yes. And they're in charge of the whole experiment. And Russell, the same as we are, is doing exactly as we are told by the hierarchy, you see.
Hmm. Was there any discussion, Gwen, about other life forms in this three-dimensional universe of ours?
Well, bearing in mind, Jeff, it's now 19 years since the beginning of it.
Yeah.
The seances with Barry and Pat.
Yes, let me ask you, Gwen, hold on right there. Will you please, I don't mean to interrupt. We have a break, and I don't want you to get
okay,
started.
Yeah.
And then I have to stop.
Here.
Good, very good. You're doing wonderfully well. And
morning here. It's getting light.
Well, the birds are chirping. And
here they are.
It's all right. Well, stand by, and we'll be back to chirp some more with you in just a couple minutes. We're going to talk about ETs and other life forms here.
Yeah.
And see if there might be some word from the other side about that as well when we continue with Michael Roll and Gwen Byrne in just a minute. Okay, back with Michael Roll and Gwen Byrne. All right, Gwen, and then I'll get to Michael for his comment. Go ahead.
Something we haven't covered yet, Jeff. I think
we're
running out of time.
Well, we have a half an hour to go.
Oh, yes. Gwen is an opera singer, and the first thing that happened to me when I went for my first session there is that a young opera singer materialized, female opera singer, came over to me, caught hold of my hand, and sang me a most magnificent love song. Now, that happened to every boy that's been to this experiment. That's the first thing that blows your mind.
What did she sing?
Well, I forgot. I think it was something Sigmund Romberg type love song.
An operetta.
It was beautiful, you know. Overhead the moon is beaming.
Oh, that's the serenade from the Student Prince.
That's right. It's beautiful stuff. And it was just for me alone, holding my hand. And that happens to every boy who's been there. But Gwen will tell you that Gwen is an opera singer herself. And this opera singer sings duets with Gwen.
Really?
Yes. So tell the story, Gwen, about you singing duets.
All right,
yes,
Gwen.
Yes, well, when we first arrived there and Laura made herself known to us.
Laura.
Laura, that wasn't her earthly name. Her earthly name was Violet Lorraine. She was quite well known on the music hall stages.
Okay.
But she had an operatic voice. And she was the grandmother's... the medium's grandmother, and she came back and sang, like, song, City of My Dreams, Vienna, City of My Dreams.
And oh, beautiful said, song, yes.
Tell me, Gwen, which I did, and there was the two of us, one from one world and one from this world. Now, that's what I mean, those kind of things.
That conjures up amazing images.
Well,
wow.
The sound we used to make was extraordinary.
And you sang professionally for a long time?
Well, I've sung all my life, yes, and
mm-hmm.
I still do now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've always studied and not trained, you know, that's the way it is. It's my gift, and I treasure it.
How nice.
And I had wonderful duets with Laura.
How extraordinary.
Well,
you're right, Michael.
It is. And what's so wonderful is this Laura died on Earth as an old woman, mm-hmm. and now she's coming back in a beautiful young
yeah.
woman. I was allowed to feel some part of her body, and we're dealing with a young and sensual woman here that really is very exciting.
Gwen, I need to go back, Gwen, and ask again. Now, this is occurring in a large parlor room, a large living room, we would
yes.
call it.
Yes, with just a little tape recorder going in the background with
yes.
maybe Lanza singing the Student Prince, and Laura would join in with him.
Did you hear what she said, friends? She said Lanza singing the Student Prince.
Wonderful, Mario Lanza.
Did you know I just produced a new CD with BMG of Mario Lanza singing 23 songs?
Listen, I tell you something. Mario Lanza spoke to me through a direct voice, and I sang because with him.
Oh.
Now, that can blow your mind.
Well,
He came and he told me his real name, which is Alfredo Cocozzo or something like that.
Alfredo Arnold Cocozzo.
Yeah, he told me, and he said, sing with me, Gwen. And we sang Because together. Now, those things just blow
you
your
have,
mind.
You have... Did you record that one?
No, it wasn't recorded that night, unfortunately. I
well,
do have recordings of Laura and myself singing.
Now, Michael, when you were sung to... How many people were in the room watching this go on?
Well, the first time I went there was only Barry and Pat,
mm-hmm.
Jeffrey, the medium, and that was it.
Just four or five.
Yeah, so it was the most wonderful experience.
Well, I should say.
And all the boys you speak to have been there say, you keep your eyes off Laura, I saw her first. So it's a little bit of jealousy amongst us all.
It's so beautiful.
Yes.
We have a photograph of her, too, which came to light, you know, afterwards. Rita sought out this picture
mm-hmm.
of her beautiful grandmother, which is Laura.
Hmm.
But it shows you've got these lovely feelings of love in the next world that you have here
perfumes,
as well.
Perfumes, too, Mike, that's
well, you know,
with her.
Mario Lanza died when he was only 38 years old.
I know. I've been a fan of Mario Lanza since I was a girl.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore him. I saw him live in London once.
You saw him at the Palladium or at the,
Albert
Hall?
I think he's wonderful. He's my all-time favorite.
That would have been 1958.
That's right, yeah.
You're supposed to be impressed with my knowledge.
Yeah,
well, I am impressed. I'm very, very impressed. You're talking my kind of stuff now. You're talking Mario Lanza.
All right.
But as Gwen has just said, there's no coincidences, you see.
That sounds like that is always the case in all my life. I've noticed that. What I wanted to ask about What about our visitors from other planets, other galaxies, and all that? As the Pope, Gwen, as the Pope recently.
Come in there quickly. I sat next to Raymond Lodge, and I did ask him this. I said, what about UFOs? He says, well, we do not need a vehicle to travel in when we go into the etheric world.
I understand that, but those other people who visit us in those craft are not in the etheric world; they're in this world.
That's what Raymond Lodge said. He said they're people, physical people like yourself, and they've learned to break the speed limit of the speed of light.
Yes.
To go from one solar system to another.
Technology.
And they don't need fossil fuels, you see, to travel.
Right. All right.
They travel like that chair did from one room to another. Teleported.
Even the Pope is coming around. I think you see major religions now beginning. They're trying to change, or they're going to be left in the dust. And the Pope said, if there are ETs and aliens, they certainly are God's children as well.
Of course they are.
Well, yeah, I'll say that nature's children.
That's right, yeah.
Well, what an amazing story. Would you like to add anything to this, Gwen, that we haven't touched upon yet? I've tried to cover most areas.
Well, it is so amazing, and it's so long. As Michael knows, it's a long, long story. And, you know, I just think we've been so privileged to witness such wonders. And I just would say on behalf of my husband, who's asleep, and I'm sitting here alone. But the wonders we were shown, we weren't shown them for nothing. We meant to share it. And
yes.
We meant to share it with other mothers and fathers and people mm-hmm. that think that you die. All right, your body dies. It's only an old coat that's buried, and you go on. I can't wait to get there.
Well,
I know I've got things to do here, and I've got my life to lead, and that. But I'm not afraid, and I know that it's so true. I've seen it with my own eyes, and I don't care if the whole world disagrees with me. I'd stand up on the roof and shout it.
Beautifully said, Gwen. Thank you so much for staying up and
joining us
tonight.
Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you,
it's
Gwen.
It's been a pleasure.
Good night.
Good night.
Good morning,
good night
I should say.
For things.
Yes, dear. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Stay tuned for more Phenomenal Talk with Jeff Rentz.
Okay, we're back. I'm Jeff Rentz with Michael Roll, our remaining segment tonight in an extraordinary program, a perfect complement to the program of January the 5th, which you can hear in our archives now. History-making radio, really. I think that the buzz on the Internet, as it were, Michael, is that something big is happening here with your work, and I think we're going to see more and more of an exposition of it in the months and years to come, and I hope that, as in the Sun, who is the visiting, I guess she's a lecturing professor in chemistry, Pat's son?
Yes, indeed. Yes, Pat. Gwen's.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Gwen's son, who might very well work with you to... You're going to be picking up more and more people is the point.
Yeah, that's right. We've got a whole stack of scientists coming on to us, and you can see how important this... This is a very important scientific exercise, and this is why I'm peeling again through your program, for a first-class materialization medium to come forward, and all my colleagues who are qualified scientists, who have started from the base that we survive, are dying to go in with the cameras now and look after the medium very carefully to make sure nothing happens to him or her. And we can repeat the experiments, and there's nothing to stop us filming Mario Lanza singing, you see. And then... And relations of Mario Lanza being reunited with him and having a chat to him. This is if we're going out internationally all over the world, this is the sort of thing we'll have to do. And also those other wonderful men, Laurel and Hardy, Look at the wonderful pleasure they've brought to everybody throughout the world.
Well, you're touching on some of the great icons and heroes of my life, that's for sure.
That's right, and they'll be carrying on in the next world, bringing the happiness that they brought on Earth, and I'm sure they'd love to come back and let us know that they're still alive and do a little act for us on camera, you know.
Has there ever been a question that you know of posed to one of the visitors from the other side about filming or videotaping them? Is there a problem with that? Since they are etheric beings, would that energy necessarily show up on videotape, for example?
Good heavens, yes. For the short time they're on Earth, they're as solid as you and me. Of that, mm-hmm. there is no doubt.
All right.
And if Professor Archie Roy had been able to go in with the cameras and film it, that would have been it, so to speak.
That would have been it. Yeah.
This is why the establishment got so uptight about it, because they realized it would have caused a revolution.
How are you going to guarantee the security of a materialization medium?
Well, because we're not going to give them any publicity. Once one comes forward, I shall call in my scientific team. And I've got a top scientist. I'm talking about Nobel laureates, current Nobel laureates.
Mm-hmm.
Professor B.D. Josephson mm-hmm. of the mm-hmm. Cavendish Laboratory at Cambridge University
mm.
has written to me and says he will witness these experiments and oversee the final filming. He'll put his name to it if it's genuine. So that's the sort of scientist you're going to have overseeing the whole thing, to stop these professional wreckers having a crack at us.
It is, well said. It is true that many people see manifestations of loved ones without the help and assistance of a medium. People who have died.
Because we've all got mediumistic tendencies. Some are much more developed than others.
And so if let's say that someone listening had lost a loved one, and that loved one appeared at bedside, which so often happens. I've heard so many tales and stories and accountings over the years of events like
that's
that.
Right.
That the loved one who is at the bedside is perhaps somehow using the unknown mediumship of the parent that is still there?
Exactly, yes. We've all got mediumistic tendencies, apparently, and some are much more developed than
others. We could call it something other than medium, some cosmic etheric energy, whatever, the etheric body.
That's right. Yeah.
However you want to phrase it. But so many people listening tonight have seen loved ones materialize. There's no question about it, and it's I think, far more common than anyone would guess.
Yes, the difference is in that case, it's usually they're seeing them with what I would call an etheric eye. If I was standing next to that person, I wouldn't see what they're seeing.
Ah.
But the difference is with a materialization experiment, everybody in the room experiences exactly the same thing. That's the difference, you see, Jeff.
That's an amazing difference, and I understand.
Yes, and you can actually catch hold of them. All five senses are working, which is terribly important, as you can imagine, for scientific repeatable experiments.
We have heard tonight a couple of instances of holding hands.
That's
right. Have we accountings of full embraces, hugs?
Oh, not half. What Pat didn't have time to tell you, of course, you only had such a short time, that Michael came up to her son Michael, and pulled her up, and they danced around the room to the tape music playing on the tape.
Oh, my.
And her son, her other son, who's alive, has actually danced with the opera singer Laura around the room. And I think Barry Jeffrey danced with Laura as well.
Now, when the visitors leave, when the session is over, when their time here has come to an end for that particular visitation.
Yeah.
Do they just fizzle out? Do they just dissolve before your eyes? You just see them go away?
Yes, it's the beam me up, Scotty. They're there 1 minute and they disappear the next. They've just gone back to their own wavelength. They've gone from one wavelength to another, that's all.
I just must leave you every time in a state of awe.
I feel very privileged to have witnessed this, and like the disciples of Jesus, it turned me into a fanatic. I mean, you want to tell the world about it, and that's my function on Earth. I feel terribly privileged to have witnessed this, and I must get this information through to everybody in the world, especially now we've got the scientific backup for it. Our pioneers were always struggling because they didn't have this mathematical theory to back up the experiment.
Right. How would William Crookes take to this? He would be elated, I'm sure, for openers. What would he say to you, do you think, if he could?
He'll be beavering away. You bet he's in Ronald Pearson's etheric team. I bet Pearson's got Crookes and Lodge and all of them, Riche, all working with him. And he gets all this wonderful knowledge coming straight into his mind.
Well, Ron did say that last time, and for those of you who weren't here, tell us just a little, we have a few minutes left, tell us a little bit about Ron Pearson and how he does get this information from people. And this is not channeling, this is something else.
No, it's just you can't hear voices or anything like some of these mediums do. Ron, I'm sure, he just gets all this information he needs with perfect timing coming into his mind, and he just writes it all down. It's like Beethoven said, my job is easy. I can hear this wonderful music in my mind, and all I have to do is just write it down.
Tesla said the same thing about his genius.
And it's the same with me. I left school at 16, hardly able to read and write, but I've got, I like to think I've got Arthur Finley working through me, who carried on with Thomas Paine's work, because Arthur Finley fully materialized at the Rita Gould experiment and came up and gave me a bear hug. He says, you don't need me to tell you, Michael, I'm working with you all the time. I said, I know that, because I'm not clever enough to write what I do write. And most of my writings come through in the middle of the night.
It won't sound unusual to you, but there are, I work at what I do very hard, like many dedicated people do. And at times it is almost as if I go into a state of just rest and something else guides. Something else is inputting, something else is leading. It's hard to describe it in words, but I get the same sense that you're describing of Ron Pearson's team, his help. I think a lot of us have. People call them guardian angels. People call them all sorts of things. But
well, I just call them people in the etheric world who are trying to help us. And it's terribly important. We've got to stop all this killing in the world that's going on, all this unnecessary killing. And when people find this out, it will stop. Isn't it? These religions are dividing up in the world into terrible hatreds when there's no need for it whatsoever if we follow Thomas Paine. My country is the world and my religion is to do good, and that will stop all the killing.
My country is the world and my religion is to do good. And for those of you who weren't here last time, Thomas Paine, relatively newly discovered by many in England who hadn't heard of him.
He's been written out of our history books because of his democratic views and, of course, writing The Age of Reason,
It's sad to see what happens in your country. Most Americans don't understand that repression in England is very much a reality.
Well, we're breaking through across the world now in the United States, but we're still censored in Great Britain. I haven't got through here yet.
Americans.
I mean, those two mothers you've just been speaking to have been censored ever since 1983. I've been trying to get them on the radio and television since 1983 and totally failed. It's not that the journalists and broadcasters are corrupt, far from it, but their paymasters are.
Sure.
They're terrified of their paymasters.
It just takes one phone call and that changes it.
Yeah, and you're obviously not frightened of your paymaster in the United States.
No, I am my paymaster.
Yeah, oh, well, that's great. but here, there's paymasters, and the journalists and broadcasters are waiting for their chance to strike, but at the moment they can't.
Well, Michael, again, I salute you, and please give my best regards to your partner and that brilliant man, Ron Pearson.
That's very kind of you, Jeff. Thank you very much.
I thank you for being on the program again, and we shall do this. You let me know when there is material and information that you think you'd like our listeners and the American audience to know about, and you'll be right back on the program.
I'd love you to get Michael Colmer on, who's the expert on Helen Duncan. He will make a wonderful program.
Well, let us count that as a done deal, and all you need to do is put me in touch with him, and we'll set up a date, and we shall do the Helen Duncan story.
That'll be wonderful.
All right, Michael. Thank you very much. Rest well.
Bye-bye.
Good night now. Over there, it's good morning. 7 o'clock in the morning. 6 o'clock in the morning. 8 hours difference. Well, that was a wonderful program. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you found it interesting and stimulating and fascinating, and it's up to you to decide. That's all we can say. Those people are telling it like they've seen it, like they've experienced it. Hope it's all true, and then some. I'll be back in 21 hours. Until then, have a wonderful night, good day tomorrow, and we'll talk soon.